Daphne by Sarah Maitland. There were laurel bushes along the drive in the house where I lived as a child. Laurel bushes with dark, dark, shiny leaves and little whitish, waxy flowers. I did not care for them much. I preferred the great rhododendrons, whose leaves looked much the same, but whose flowers, pink, red, purple, shimmering white, were like ladies' Sunday hats. My mother taught me that gardens will grow either rhododendrons and azaleas or roses, but not both, and the only sensible thing to do was to consent. I did not then care for the laurels, which seemed boring compared to the other delights of my mother's garden. Now they are among my favorite plants, and although my present garden is much better at roses, and I have no rhododendrons or azaleas growing in it, I still maintain a couple of laurel bushes, despite the fact that they are unfashionable and take up rather more space than I can spare for them. My mother had a lovely shabby garden, like her lovely shabby house. I do not quite know why, when my father took himself off before I was 2 years old, she decided to settle in that beautiful but cut-off little world of Western Galloway, but it may well have had something to do with the garden. Because of the curious journeys of the Gulf Stream that flows steadily from the Caribbean northeastwards across the Atlantic, around the north coast of Ireland, and then swoops down towards the Solway, that part of the world enjoys a curiously mild climate, almost frost-free. This makes for gardens like Eden, and hers was one of them. I must have been about 10 or 11 when my mother first told me this story. I had been complaining yet again about my name. Daphne! Mummy, how could you? I think it's a lovely name. What's wrong with it? It's an old lady name. Are you an old lady? Pause. Well then, you're not an old lady. Daphne is your name, so Daphne is not an old lady name. Oh, Mummy. Now I have children of my own, I can hear that patient exasperation in their voices too. She turned back to the kitchen table. It is my strongest visual memory of her. 20 or 30 times a day, all the days of my childhood, I must have seen my mother turn so and bend slightly over the wooden table, working with her back to me as she talked, her long, thin neck curving downwards away from me. There's not much I can do about it now anyway. Perhaps you will like it more when you are older. I hope so. You were named after someone very special. I could tell from the way her voice smoothed out, deepened, that she was going to tell me a story. My mother was a wonderful storyteller. Not the kind who enfolded you on her lap and gave the story directly to you and only to you, like a gift. She would tell her stories as she worked. Sometimes she would wander through to the larder or the garden in the middle, and you would have to follow after her if you wanted to hear it. She told stories as though for her own delight, and for mine or anyone's if they wanted to share hers. She never looked at you while she was telling a story. It was as though she made the story and left it lying around, and it was up to you if you picked it up or not. It was never your story. Even when she had told it to you, it remained her story and everyone's story.